good to be here tonight. Amen. Just want to greet y'all in the name of the Lord. Amen. While we're standing, let's just bow our heads as we change the order of the service tonight. Oh, Father, we've gathered in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, as the song says, nothing in our hands we bring, but simply to thy cross we cling, Lord. Recognizing that in ourselves we have no good thing, but in you, Lord, we have all things. How we love you, how we thank you, Lord. We're truly grateful tonight, Lord. Lord, to be able to gather together as part of the family of God, having the same life living in us, the life of our Father. Lord, it's a precious time for us, Lord. We just want to acknowledge you, Lord, and acknowledge your presence here among us. Just recognize, Lord, that we may never have another meeting like this. It's an opportunity that we have before us tonight to meet with the living God. Lord, to receive from you. So, Father, I pray that each one, Father, we'd be able to just grab a hold of the opportunity that you've given us tonight. Lord, that you would move in our hearts, in our very being, Lord, that you would just speak to us, Lord. Lord, as we become one with your word, as we, Lord, take it in and we digest it, Lord, and we chew on it, Father, and it becomes part of us, Lord. We become that word, Father, more and more day by day. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that your word would come forth in purity, Lord. That it would come forth in clarity, Lord. That it would speak above all other voices in this age, Father. Lord, that we would know that the living God has spoken to us. I pray for the young people tonight that are gathered, Lord. We dedicate this service for them, Lord. And I pray that you would move in a mighty way in their lives, Lord. Because you're a mighty God. And we expect great things. Because you've made us great promises. I pray that you just move in their lives, Lord. We already see, Lord, how you've moved in their lives. We see you, Lord. But I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd move again, Lord, and move in a special way. Lord, somehow that you would touch their hearts, Lord. Bless them, Father. We just thank you, Lord. We commit our hearts, our minds to you, Lord. We surrender to you, Lord. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say tonight, however you want to move, Lord, we're here. We're yours, Lord. We just desire your perfect will. We thank you, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, musicians. Amen. While you're still standing, let's just read our scriptures here tonight. Good to be with you tonight. Amen. Here for a Sunday night service. Praise the Lord. Brother Baker said this morning that tonight you'd be shouting, so.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to look tonight at just a couple of verses of Scripture here, starting in Luke chapter 3, and then we'll also read in Romans chapter 8. Amen. And I want to just title the message here tonight, In His Image. And kind of what we want to look at tonight is just how God is, he's moving us into his image. Amen. And just pray that it'd be a blessing to you tonight. Amen. Just a word before we get started. It's And I won't keep you standing too long here. We'll just read this and be seated in a moment. But, you know, it's different for every minister how God, you know, works with each one of us, just like every individual. And so I like to prepare ahead of time and kind of get, you know, sermon material all figured out and stuff. And I had something mostly completely prepared for this evening. And then I woke up about 3 or 4 in the morning this morning and had something completely different kind of dropped in my heart. So we'll trust that will be that will be the Lord's will. But, you know, it got me thinking, and I don't say that to, you know, point anything at me, but this is why I'm saying it. Because it just got me thinking about how we should be in expectation every time we come to church. Because, brother, sister, it doesn't matter if God wakes you up in the middle of the night and gives you something to bring to the church, or if he moves in the normal way that he moves with our pastor. But he does it 3 times a week.
Amen.
Amen. 3 times a week we come to service. And God puts something on whoever is standing up here. Often it's our pastor. Amen? But it's no more special if he wakes you up in the middle of the night or if he doesn't. It's still God doing it. And I guess I'm just telling you this because it takes a toll on you. And it takes a toll on our pastor to 3 times a week to be laying before the presence of the Lord, to be seeking the Holy Spirit and to be finding out what is the mind of God. What does God want for this service? And he does that 3 times a week. Amen? And he doesn't complain about it or anything, and he shouldn't. Amen? It's a wonderful ministry that God has given him, but it takes a toll, and we should be praying for him. Amen. Amen. Praying that that God will strengthen him. Amen. And that God will... The best thing you can do is pray for him in that. And when you come with that anticipation that I know that God has spoken to my pastor. Amen. And he has put something on his heart for this service, this morning or this evening or whenever it is. And God has a purpose in this service. No, there's no services that are just like, oh, well, you know, that's just an extra one. We're just running out the clock. Right? God has a purpose for each one. So if we come with that expectation, amen, that's the best thing you can do for the preacher. Amen? You believe that? Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 3 and verse 22. Do we have that there? Oh, this one's off. Oh, okay, there we go. Luke chapter 3, verse 22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, of course, being our Lord Jesus, amen. And a voice came from heaven, which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Amen. And then Romans 8 and 29, actually had 29 to 31, but it's just 29. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Amen. Amen. And so we're speaking about being conformed to that image. Amen. There's a lot of images that the world puts out there in front of us that they want us to conform to. And there's a lot of images, as we speak to the young people tonight, amen, especially they're trying to get you to conform to an image. Amen. But God has placed an image before us that we would be conformed to the image of his Son. Amen. That he might be called the firstborn among many brethren.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, you know, this scripture here in Luke chapter 3, where Jesus, amen, is down at the river. And he's being baptized by John the Baptist, and this is the beginning, this is the launching off point of his ministry. Amen? And the Holy Ghost descends bodily upon him in a shape like a dove, the Bible says. And the voice comes from heaven and speaks. And I want you to recognize something about that scripture. It doesn't say, it's not speaking to the people around. It's not speaking to John the Baptist. Did you notice that? It says, "Thou art my beloved son." It's speaking to Christ. Amen? To him. "Thou art my beloved son, and in thee I am well pleased." Amen? Amen. The Father, the mighty invisible God speaking through the Holy Ghost to Christ. Amen. Because Christ was God and he was a man. Yeah. Is that right? Amen. And so he being the Son of God in that position, he was going to show us what it meant to be a son of God. That he would be the firstborn among many brethren. Is that right? And so the one who is the pattern, the one who is our image, the way it all starts out for him is for the Father telling him who he is. Amen? Amen? That's how it starts out. Amen? That's our example. Amen? That's our pattern. That's the image that we are to follow after. It starts with the Holy Ghost coming in power and saying, "You are my son. Amen. And you I'm well pleased." Amen? Pointing you out directly. Speaking directly to you. Amen? Now, John the Baptist had already said, "Behold the Lamb of God." He had already told the people, "There he is." The prophet came and said, "That's who you are." But yet, God himself had to come, the Father, had to come to the Son and say, "You are my Son." Amen? Showing that it can't be somebody else. Amen. Our pattern is that. You have to hear the voice. You have to be told by your Father, "You are my child." Amen. My beloved. Not just the Son. Beloved. And in you I am well pleased. Amen? Pleased to do what? To dwell in. To walk in. To live in. To live through. To work through. Amen. To preach. To teach. To express my attributes to the world. Amen. That's what it means to dwell in. That's what he was going to do. Amen? It was God in him. Preaching love to the world. That's our pattern tonight. Amen? He was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, and it pleased him to do that. So Christ was the model for us. He's the one that we are to follow after. Amen? So we should look to him, don't you think? Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we know he never had a bit of sin. Is that right? But we know he could be tempted. We know he had to fight a battle. We know he had to come up against every temptation and every sin. So that he could be our high priest. So that he could be our lamb. Oh, I was thinking about this as Brother Doug was preaching about that this morning. He was talking about how Christ sanctified himself. For our sake. Amen? And you know what that means to me? I was thinking about the sacrifice that he made. And when we say, "Oh, he made a sacrifice for us," we think of the cross. Right? And when he says, "You must take up your cross daily," we think of the cross, only the crucifixion part of it. But do you realize that Jesus sacrificed for you every moment of every day? You say, "How so?" Well, he sanctified himself for us. Amen? Well, what do I mean? Well, every decision, every point in his life, he had to live as the perfect lamb. Amen? Think about that. I mean, that's a lot of pressure, right? Think about every decision that you make. He had to come back to the thought, is this going to keep me from being the perfect lamb? Is this the perfect will of God? Right? Every decision he made in his entire life was overshadowed by the fact that he had to be the perfect lamb for you and me. Amen. Oh, that just makes me love him that much more. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen. But God was pleased to dwell in him. So he has this experience at the river where he's told in a certain voice, a certain sound. Amen. It was not ambiguous. Right? He wasn't wondering, what was that? Right? No, nobody wondered, well, I wonder what that meant. It was very clear. It was black and white. Amen? It was a real experience. Amen. Immediately after that, the Bible says he was tempted in the wilderness. He went out for a testing. Anytime God gives you an experience, there comes a testing behind it. Is that right? He brings you to something and he builds you up, and then it's time to test. Whatever he's placed in there, it's got to be tested. It's got to be shaken. Amen? It's got to be solidified in your life. It's like you take a jar of something, you know, like... If you've ever put like coins in a jar or something, well, you can pour them in there, right? But what happens is you can shake it, right? You can tap it and shake it, and pretty soon everything settles in and it gets packed in there really tight, right? Well, that's what he does with our lives. He brings a blessing to you, some growth in your life, and then a test or a trial comes around behind it to solidify it. Amen? And so he's in the wilderness 40 days. He's tempted and he's fasting. And I want you to notice how the test matches the experience or the word that he was given. Amen? Because this is the way it works with us. Right? He was told, you are my son. Amen? And what was he tempted with when the devil came to him? The question he asked was, if thou be the son. Right? Immediately coming back to test that word that God had given. The word that God gave them in the garden was don't eat. And the serpent came and tested that word. Amen. But oh, brother, sister, a real Holy Ghost experience of God is built to withstand the test. Amen. Amen. The test is a positive because it just proves it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Amen. Because if you were never tested, there could always be a question. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it'll stand the test. I don't know if my experience will hold up. But once you've been through the test, amen, it's like a building that they would build. You know, if they built, they just had this big earthquake in Myanmar, which is terrible. We should pray for people there. Amen. But you know, they build buildings here in the U.S. and Southern California and stuff to withstand earthquakes, right? And they build it to withstand a certain, you know, magnitude earthquake on the Richter scale. And you could ask them, well, will it stand it? And the best they can do is say, we think so. Yeah. Right?
Right?
Why? Because it's never been through it.
Right.
Now, if they say that building can withstand a 10-point earthquake or whatever, and it goes through a 10-point earthquake and withstands it, then they can say it will withstand it.
Right.
Amen? But until then,
right,
we hope so.
Yeah.
These are the words, right?
Yeah.
We think so.
Yeah.
Amen? We don't want an I hope so experience.
Right.
We want an experience where we know so.
Right.
And God in His grace and His mercy,
right,
He allows the word to be tested in your life so that you know so.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Branham said that before you can stand in the Hall of Fame, you got to go through the Hall of Critics. Well, what's it there for? It's to just tighten it down. To strengthen the case. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. How do you know God's a healer? Because I've been healed. Amen. That word has had its effect in me. Amen. When David came up against Goliath, it was just the next step in his experience. Because he'd already experienced the lion and the bear. And he knew that God was a mighty warrior on his behalf. Amen. Why? He'd been tested. He'd been battle-hardened. Amen. Your experience must be tested and proven. Oh, hallelujah. So Christ is no different. Amen. Jesus was no different. He had an experience where thou art my son. And the devil came and tempted him. And said, if thou be the Son of God. Multiple times, that was the challenge. If thou be. If thou be. You've got a testimony. You say that you went to a revival and God touched you and you're a child. Now the enemy comes. If you are. If. And now you say this happened to you. Well, if that's true. If thou be the Son of God. The first challenge and the first revelation that set Christ into his ministry was his relationship to the Father. Right. It all starts with relationship. Right. Knowing who you are. Right. And that's the first thing the enemy attacks. Who you are. Right. Because if he knows, if you don't know who you are, amen, then you're washed to begin with.
Right.
You're an easy target.
Yeah.
Because you're always wondering. Amen? If he did not have a revelation that he was the Son of God, told him directly through the Holy Spirit, amen, then he wouldn't have been able to stand. But he had a revelation of it. God had given that to him. Amen? The temptation will come and your experience won't stand unless you know. And it's given to you by God. Amen. Your experience won't stand either unless it comes from God himself. That's why it can't be a John the Baptist telling you, you're the Son of God. That wouldn't have been good enough. Amen. A pastor, a preacher can't tell you, you're a child of God. They can tell you that, that's good, but that won't stand in the time of temptation, in the time of testing. Satan is a worthy adversary. Amen. And he knows that any child of God has authority over him. Hallelujah. Any child of God, he knows, has more power behind him than he has the powers of hell behind him. He knows he can be defeated by a true child of God. Amen. So his main tactic is to get them to doubt their sonship. To get you to doubt that you're a child of God. To just plant a little seed of doubt in there. Just a little bit. Just a little nagging. Well, I'm not totally sure. Amen? And then he's got you. Because he knows if you get that revelation from God, nothing can stand before your prayer. Yeah. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. A child of God cannot be defeated. Amen. Amen. A child of God cannot be defeated. Amen. It's not them, it's God in them. Amen. It's not to say you won't be tested. That's not to say you won't make mistakes. That's not what we're saying. You can't be defeated. A true child of God. Amen? Amen. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5 also here, just as we look at this about Christ. He says, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. So what he's saying is he didn't lift himself up, but the one who told him, You are a son, is the one that lifted him up. Today I have begotten thee. Amen? In other words, he's saying he didn't make anything of himself, but God made something of him. Amen? As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Amen. Our example learned, which means by use and practice. Amen. By use and practice. By doing it. Amen? Amen. By doing it, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He walked a walk of testing and suffering. Amen? He was able to practice obedience and demonstrate it for you and for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen? Hallelujah. So, he went through that time of testing. Again, remember, he's our example. Right? He's the firstborn that many would follow after. Amen. Many like you and me, right? Amen. So later, so he goes through that. He's been given the voice comes. It establishes who he is. Without a shadow of a doubt, he goes into the wilderness. He's tested on it. He goes through the testing. It's just as sure as anything. Amen. And so later, when he's confronted by learned men, scribes and Pharisees and lawyers, amen, and Sadducees and high priests, men that had been studying the Torah and the prophets and the law for their entire lifetimes, and men before them had studied for lifetimes, and them before them studied for lifetimes, and they had studied all of those guys. And they had, many of them had written it and copied the word, and they knew it upside down and backwards, and they knew exactly how to pick up a scroll and point to this is exactly where the prophet said all about it. Amen? Amen. And here he is facing those men.
Right.
Men that were gifted and skilled at debating. Because that's all they did. They knew how to take words and to twist them and to tie people up in knots. They knew how to do all of that. He never went to none of those schools. He didn't grow up doing that in school like they did. Right? And yet he was facing them. How could he have the confidence to do that? Because of the things he had been through, he wasn't afraid. Why? Because he knew who he was. Amen? It's because he knew who he was. You got to know who you are. If you're always wondering who I am, am I or aren't I? You can't face. You can't face that without fear. He faced it without fear, without trepidation, without hesitation. Amen? He wasn't afraid to go in and just flip the tables over. Amen? The money changers. He wasn't afraid to call out their hypocrisy. He wasn't afraid of any of it. Because he knew who he was. Amen? You walk into a crowded temple area full of people. Amen? Full of people. And start flipping over tables? Would you be afraid to do that? You should if you're not called to it. Amen? But he was doing what he had been called to do. Amen? Hallelujah. He walked a life without fear because he knew who he was. And he knew his relationship to the Father. Amen?
Amen.
I think that's probably what we would need.
Yes.
Amen? Don't you think?
Yes.
Amen? Why is so much of the preaching and so much of the message and so much of the scripture trying to just show you who you are and what God thinks of you, what his thoughts are towards you? That's where the battle rages. Why does Satan attack that so hard? Because he knows something. He knows it's a key. Amen? He knows that if a young person gets filled with the Holy Ghost and has an experience with God, that they know that they know that they know that they're a child of God. He knows that one surrendered vessel can wreak havoc on his kingdom. He knows that there's power in their prayer. He knows there's power in their testimony. He knows that there's authority there to tear down his kingdom, to cast out his imps, to drive away his demons. He's just, if God can get one surrendered vessel, fully surrendered, fully sold out. Amen? So Jesus walked a life without fear. And I've said this before, but can you imagine that? I can't. How many has had fear? Every hand, right? No. Oh, some people have it. Some people are asleep. This was a test. Because I know you all have. You've experienced fear. Right? You're human. You've experienced fear. Jesus walked a life without fear. Now, he was tempted to fear, and I'm sure he was anointed with the anointing that comes on you, but wouldn't step into it, right? Can you imagine that? That same life that was in Christ is in his children. The same power. Amen? Hallelujah. We aren't called to die for the sins of the world. Of course not. We're called to be a child of God. Amen. Not the son of, not the, amen. We're not all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but we are a portion. And that portion that we have is the same power. It's the same ingredients that was in Christ. It's the same thing that gave him the power to live without fear.
Amen.
Come on now. Amen. Amen. So what are you afraid of? You know, a lot of times, Brother Doug will get up here and preach about when he's preaching about the Holy Ghost and letting go and letting God have his way. The reason that he has to say those things and we have to preach that way is because people are afraid to let go. There's fear hanging over an experience with God. Hard to believe, right? But that's the main thing that keeps people from that is fear.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I know, brother, sister, because I've experienced it. I'm speaking from experience. Amen. I know I it's hard to believe, but I was young like you. Amen. And I remember moving into the realm, into these things in the spirit realm. And I remember my first experiences. I remember speaking in tongues for the first time. Right? And I remember, I'll tell you this. There were many times prior to that that I didn't because I was afraid. Amen. And this is not about speaking in tongues. I just use that as an example. Anything in the spirit. Amen. Any time God begins to move in the spirit and move in a service, you can almost always you can see people tense.
Yeah.
Amen. There's it's kind of like they're stealing themselves just a little bit.
Right.
Amen. Well, Brother, sister, that's how you keep him away. Amen? You have to trust him. You have to let God have his way. And so when we step into a life filled with the Spirit, what are we afraid of? You know, I'll admit, you know, I'll tell you things that went through my mind. As a young person, I think, well, what's God going to do? I don't know. If I surrender, is he going to send me to some foreign country to be a missionary somewhere? Is he going to send me somewhere I don't want to go? Is he going to make me do something I don't want to do? Right? All these things go through your head. Or, you know, you think of like the worst thing, or the enemy tries to find like the worst thing that you can think of in your mind. God's going to make you do that. Or he's going to make you give up your favorite thing, whatever it happens to be, right? He's the imagination. Satan begins to work on your imagination. So you're going to, he makes you scared. I can't surrender to God. He's going to, I'm scared because my friends are going to make fun of me. Well, they might. But you know what? God will give you new friends. Amen? I'm going to be rejected. I won't be cool anymore. Well, you'll be accepted in the beloved. Amen? You'll be cool in heaven. Amen. You'll be cool among the angels. You might not be cool among the devils anymore, but you'll be cool among the angels. Amen? You know what the world says is cool is really stupid. There is devils anointing this age that try to make things cool. I remember when and you look back, this is how you know. Because I look back on things that were cool when I was a kid. And now I look back and go, I'm like, what idiots. Right? When I was a kid, parachute pants were cool. Are parachute pants cool? There's nothing cool about parachute. You don't even know what parachute pants are, probably. Nobody even wears those things anymore. Well, for good reason. Right? Hallelujah. It's not cool. It's just Satan trying to make you conform. The world wants you to conform. And whatever is cool today will be not cool tomorrow. Amen? They're just trying to get you to bend and shape and be formed into the image of the world. Amen. And so fear comes to try and anoint you and hold you back. You don't want that. You don't want to live like Christ. You want to live like this. No, I really don't. Amen. Jesus, as our example of a true son, he taught us how to pray. He taught us how to speak to God our Father. Amen? To know, not as a beggar, but as a true child, one who knows who our Father is. And communes with our Father and goes to our Father when we have a need. Amen? Is that right? Let's look at this. This is from the message, The Harvest Time. Brother Branham says this. He says, we as Christians are only reflecting him. The moon only reflects the sun in its absence. Right? So we're not the source of light. We're just reflecting him. Amen? Amen? He says, and the believer only reflects the Son of God in the absence of the Son of God. It's the light of the Bible, the Scriptures, being vindicated in our lives, the Word that makes light in darkness. Amen. You are candles that sets upon a hill. Amen? Amen? You are candles setting upon the hill. Isn't that what the Bible says? It says that ain't the sun, it's a candle. The candle just takes the place of the sun. It just shows a certain amount of light. And we are God's children. We are sons and daughters of God only by the Spirit with portion. He had it without a portion. It was all the fullness, right? We are a star that's shining. All of us together make a light to the world. But he is the entire sun that reflects the light to every star. Hallelujah. I believe him. God help my unbelief. Amen. So we have a portion of that light. Amen. We don't have all of it, but we have a portion of it. The token that he gives us proves that we are his children. Amen. Now, this is what's beautiful about that. And Brother Doug was just touching on these things this morning. That at Calvary, the lamb sacrifice was accepted by God. Is that right? And we were in him. Right? He was talking about how in the beginning it was man and woman, but it was all man. Man and woman together made man. And in Christ, it was Christ and his bride all together. That's Christ. Amen. And at Calvary, when he was torn apart, the bride was pulled out of him, just like Eve was pulled out of Adam. Amen. But we were in him. When he was judged worthy. Amen. Oh, if we could just get that revelation tonight. We were in him when the lamb was examined and judged worthy. Was judged to be without sin, without spot, without wrinkle. You and I were there in that judgment. Amen. So we are part of him. We are part of the light. We aren't that total light, but we are a part of it. We are a little drop of the ocean. We aren't the whole ocean, but we're a part of it. Amen. And all together, the bride, together, all the individuals in the bride together make up that bride, make up that feminist part, and that together with Christ the head makes up the entire body. Right? Isn't that what we heard this morning? Right? That entire body was judged worthy. Amen. So, if he is well pleased, and we just saw where he said he is well pleased with that one, weren't you there?
Yes.
When he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am pleased." Amen. You see why it's important to find out who you are. Because if you know I was there in that, he was speaking about me also. Amen. If he's well pleased with the whole, isn't he well pleased with the individual portions that make up the whole? Amen. Jesus doesn't have any bad parts. He doesn't have any parts that are like, well, it's all good except for this one part over here. That part of the body, right? Amen. Come on now. Amen. You say, oh, no, I'm that one part. I'm that one part of Christ's body that, you know, he called the whole thing good except for me. He called the whole thing good. If you are part of him by his Spirit, you are pleasing to the Father as a son. Amen? Oh, brother, sister. We must have this revelation to be effective. To be effective. To know our place. To walk without fear. To trot into life. That's the beautiful thing, and this is the reason why we have these meetings for the young people. It's not just to single you all out, but we know that you're setting a trajectory for your life.
Right. Amen.
Amen? And what happens is there's just kind of this law that when you start something in motion in a certain direction, it tends to continue in that direction.
Right.
And so we're trying to get you started in the right direction. You have these years,
right?
This time in your life where you can easily set your direction. As you get older, it's harder. Right? You've got more momentum. You got more weight, too, and you got more momentum, right? And it's harder to move off that trajectory. You're more set in your ways. But when you're young, you're just establishing that. You're making those decisions. Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? What trajectory am I going to set for my life? Amen. And so we're trying to help you establish that and get you headed in the right direction. But to do that, you've got to find out who you are. Amen? And only God can tell you that. We must be solid in that revelation. Or we can't be effective. You can't, you won't live victorious without it. You'll be tested and you'll be, the Bible says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You will be double-minded until you have that revelation that you know that you know that you know that God has, he's given you the token and you're, he's well pleased with you and that you were in Christ, you'll be double-minded. Right? One day you'll be up and feel really good and spiritual and man, everything's going great, and then you'll be down. Amen? And you'll be in the depths of despair. Right? You'll be unstable. But that revelation, amen, of who you are, it's what carries through those times. Amen? And only he can tell you that. Now, Brother Baker did a masterful job on Sunday speaking about a woman who had forgotten, right? She had just, life had gotten in the way and her human spirit had just caused turmoil. But deep down in her soul, she still witnessed to it. There was something that just had to be pulled back up. Right? The preaching of the word and the anointing of God and being in the presence of God and hearing the word can do that, can remind you and resurface it and reaffirm it. That's why even though we've had that experience, we keep coming back. Amen. We want more and more of God. Amen. It's not the first, or it's not the only experience. It's just the first of many. Amen. Why? Because life happens and we walk this road of life and we get dust on our feet and we have to have our feet washed. So if you're not sure or if you've forgotten, you can seek God today and he'll tell you. Amen. He's not trying to keep it a secret. He'll tell you. Because you've got to really know that you're pleasing to the Father. Amen? Is that right? Amen. I think I've got another verse up there. Acts chapter 19. Let's see if we have that. Amen. Oh, this is such a great example of this, brother, sister. Acts chapter 19, verse 13. There were certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, who took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." Now that's solid, right? They're exorcists. And they see that Paul and the other apostles and the believers are casting out demons. They see that they have power over darkness. Amen? And so they begin to try it. Hey, you evil spirits, in the name of the Lord Jesus whom Paul's preaching, what these guys are saying over here. Right? That's what we call a second or third-handed experience. Amen? You know how they talk about a testimony, and you've heard of this, probably you've heard of hearsay. Right? Or you've heard of a testimony that's second-hand or third-hand or even further down. What is that? Well, I heard so-and-so told me that this person told them, right? We've probably all experienced that. That person told this person, and that person told that person, and that person told me. And I'm telling you. So you don't really know. The only thing you know is that first person told you something. But you don't know really what happened over there. Right? That's hearsay, right? That's something that you don't have direct experience with. You're not an eyewitness to it. You can't say for sure that that happened. Amen? But you heard that you heard that you heard that you heard. He said that she said that they said. Amen? As the song goes. Amen. Well, that's basically what these guys were doing. They're saying, well, they see Paul preaching about Jesus. Right? Hey, Paul was telling us about Jesus, and so, hey, demons, you know what he was saying over there? You need to listen to us because of what he said about him. Yeah. Amen? Now, I was going to say I'm not ashamed to say it, but I kind of am. But I remember my experience matching this. This is why I come back to this. Because I know that that's the experience sometimes that we have. Well, this is what the preacher said, right? Or this is what my parents say. Amen? This is what my pastor says. Or this is what Brother Branham says. Right? What if you tried to cast out a demon and said, evil spirit, come out in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Brother Branham preaches? Brother Branham's, you know, talking about this Jesus, and you come out. Do you think that that's going to work? Right? But that's where our experience starts. It starts with, well, the preacher said this, and, you know, this is what I hear, and this is where, okay, start there. But you need to go further. Because look at what happens. There were 7 sons of Sceva, this is verse 14. A Jew, one Sceva, a Jew, so these were his sons, and the chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered. Now, I imagine, I don't know if this happened to them very often, like did the spirit just speak back to them, but that might be a wake-up call, right? The evil spirit starts speaking back to you. The evil spirit answered and said, let's check off the list. Okay, Jesus, I know him. Yeah, we know you know him, devil. Amen? He defeated you. Just reminding the devils here. I'm not speaking to you. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. I've had to contend with him, too. Who are you again? Let me look at my list. I don't have you on my list. Jesus, check. Paul, check. Have you got some identification? Let me see your ID. Amen? The man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them. He wasn't afraid of them. He didn't respect them. He didn't have to back down to them. He leaped on them and overcame them. 7 of them, remember? And prevailed against them so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Ashamed, beaten up, naked, stripped. They were embarrassed. And this was known to all the Jews. Everybody saw it. Everybody knew what happened. This was known to all the Jews and the Greeks also dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now God gets the glory. Because the demon said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But what did Paul have that these men didn't? That's the question, right? What did Paul have that they didn't have? The demon says, let me see your ID. What's your ID? The token? Amen. The token. That's why the token is given to you. That's why the Holy Ghost is given to you in your life. So that you can face down any demon. Because yeah, maybe you're not on their list. But if you've got a token. Devil, you don't know me. We haven't seen each other before. But here's the evidence of who I am. And you have to back down. Amen. Because I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. He came and met me personally, and he gave me this token personally. He handed it to me, and he said, here you go. This is to prove who you are. If you ever run into a demon, you show him this. And he's got to back up, because all of heaven will be behind you. Oh, hallelujah. That's what he does. He comes and gives you the Holy Ghost as a token, a proof of who you are. Then you can live with no fear. Then you can face demons with no fear. You're not afraid of any demon in hell. Amen? I don't care what it is. That's why, you know, that angel came to Brother Branham and said, no, nothing will stand before your prayer, not even cancer. Kind of heading off the most fearful thing that they could come up against in that age. Nothing, by the way, not even cancer. Amen? Just to reiterate, nothing. Nothing can move a child of God away from the promise. Do you believe that? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's look at this from the message. I have heard, but now I see. But he'd come to a place. He'd come to a place to where he calls it here being tempted of the Lord. But I'd like to use the word being tested by the Lord. And truly, every son that cometh to God must first be tested, tried, child trained. And then if the testing gets hard, and we think it's too hard and won't listen or take heed, then he said we become an illegitimate child and not a child of God. Because there's nothing can move. Nothing can move a real born-again child of God away from his parents, see? There's nothing that can move a real born-again child of God away from his parent. You can't be lost any more than God can be lost. Amen. Right? If you've been given God's own life, God's Zoe life, you can't die any more than he can die. You can't be separated. What shall separate us, the Bible says? Can anything separate us? And it goes through the laundry list. Can this? What can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus? Nothing. Nothing can move a real born-again child of God away from his parents. See, because he's part of him. You could no more deny it than you could deny yourself. See, you've had the experience. You've been trained and tested. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. See what he says there? You've had the experience. That's the key. You've been trained. You've been tested. You've had the experience. You've gone through it. It's been tested. It's been made sure you know. Amen. Then you can't be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. You can't sing that until you've had that experience and been tested and trained. But if you have, you can say, I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm looking at some of my Sunday school class here tonight. This morning in our Sunday school class, we were looking at Elijah on Mount Carmel. The showdown at Mount Carmel. Amen? And at that point, Israel was, the Bible says, halt between two opinions. Right? They weren't sure. They didn't know. They couldn't say this. They hadn't had the experience. They didn't know for sure. They were kind of leaning towards Baal. Sometimes they were leaning towards Jehovah. They were kind of back and forth and up and down, in and out. Right. Amen. Amen? They had an experience. If there was revival, they were good. And then once they got out of, you know, special meetings, they were right, up and down. They weren't sure. But God sent them a message. He sent them a prophet to come and bring an experience to them. Amen. That was the whole point of that, right? Was to make it sure to them, there is a God in Israel. And He is a living God. And here's the proof. We make the most impossible situation. He created this, set up this situation with the altar and the, you know the story, with the wood and the sacrifice. And they poured water over it. Made it impossible. Only God could light that thing on fire. Amen. He set it up and God came on the scene. And they recognized that He is a living God. Amen. Now that was their experience. No longer was it just theory. It wasn't just their ancestors telling them about the Red Sea and the things that God had done in the past and, you know, all the stories, hunting stories and things about God. Those are good things. But they had to have an experience. Because just with those stories, they were halt between two opinions. But once God came on the scene and proved Himself beyond a shadow of a doubt, then they said, oh, He is God. Amen. Our God is God. Amen. And they went into action. Right away, they began to cut away. They began to slay the prophets of Baal. They began to cut the sin out of their life. They began to cut the sin out of their nation. They began to get their house right, get their life tidied up and right, because they knew that God was real. They began to serve Him. They began to look to Him. Amen. They fought they killed by hand, right? In a very bloody way, hand to hand, they went and killed all those prophets. They didn't spare any of them. Why? Because God had made Himself real to them. They could say, I've had an experience. I know I was there, man. I saw it. I saw God burn that altar. The same God that was in the burning bush with Moses, that was in the pillar of the fire and the cloud, that led our ancestors through the Red Sea, that same pillar of fire came and I saw it. I was there.
Amen.
Amen. And then when that happens, nobody can talk you out of it. Amen. Nobody can say, well, you know, you didn't really see it. Well, I did. I was there. I saw it. Amen? It's like people that say, well, God doesn't heal. Really? You came too late. Amen? I've been healed. No, He doesn't heal. Well, I've been healed. Well, He doesn't do that. But I've been healed. But He doesn't do that. Well, okay. Why? How can you argue with an experience? You see, the devil's whole tactic is reasoning and argument and trying to get you to disbelieve God's word. But once you've experienced it, where's the argument? Amen. It's like somebody saying, well, the sky isn't really blue. Well, I've seen it. Right? The example that I used for my Sunday school is like, it's like if you met me, right? You met me for the first time, you shook my hand, and, you know, we had a little conversation or whatever, just small talk, introduced ourselves. Nice to meet you. And then sometime later, somebody tries to tell you, oh, He doesn't exist. But I shook His hand. No, but let me explain. I can scientifically prove to you that He doesn't exist. There's no such person. But I shook His hand. I talked to Him. I met Him. This is what the atheists are up against when they try and tell you there's no God. Well, I met Him. He spoke to me. Nope, you can't prove that. But I met Him. And He spoke to me. I know him. No, he doesn't. Too late. Sorry. Right? How can you argue with an experience? I know him. It is a lot different than I know about him. Or I've heard of him. No, I know him. I met him. I saw him. Shook his hand. Talked to him. He talked to me. We had a conversation. I know him. No amount of intellectualism can combat that. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. Why do we belabor that so much? It's because if you can be talked into something, you can be talked out of something. We don't want to talk anybody into anything. We're trying to get you in contact with the living God. We want you to meet the living God yourself so that you will never be shaken. We're not trying to bring you to a person. We're not trying to bring you to a ministry. We're not trying to bring you to this church. We're trying to get you in contact with him.
Amen.
And people quit on God and they leave this message. It's because they never met the God of the message. If they ever came in contact with the God of the message, they'd realize that he's the one speaking. It never was about Brother Branham. He's just pointing you to someone. He's just trying to take the scripture and point you. That's all we're doing, is pointing you to Christ. Trying to get you in contact with the living God. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, we need to wrap this up here tonight. Okay. I got another quote here. So Brother Branham said, nothing can move a child of God away from his parent. Right? And this is how Peter and the rest of the apostles walked and lived their lives in the book of Acts. Right? When they were beaten and thrown in prison, and they began to sing. Right? When they were beaten and thrown into prison and they were released by an angel. None of those things were shaking them from serving God. They were wondering what they should do. And in the natural, of course, they're like, well, you know, we're not shaken in our faith, but they wanted to make sure they were doing their best and serving God. But they weren't afraid. Amen? I mean, Peter, this is the same guy who was afraid of a little girl, who said, you're one of them. And instead of saying, yeah, I'm one of them, he said, no, I'm not, and swore. Right? And later, when he's filled with the Holy Ghost, now you say, he met Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
But he had the token. Amen. He had met Jesus in the flesh, but he didn't have the token. He didn't have the revelation of who he was. He had the revelation of who Christ was, right? God told him, God gave him that revelation. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you, who Christ was, the revelation of who Jesus Christ was. Is that right? But Peter didn't know who he was yet. And so when he was tested, he failed. And he denied Christ. Got scared of a little girl. Yeah. The old Peter. Scared of a little girl. But after Pentecost, when he got the token, and it was revealed to him who he was, then throw him in prison. He doesn't care. Beaten. Amen? Brought before the council, not just a little girl now, all of them, saying, don't you teach in this name anymore. And his answer was, are we to obey you or God? Amen? What a difference. Why? Because it went from the theoretical to now he knew who he was. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas were beaten, thrown in prison. Same thing. They start praising God. Amen? Why? Because they knew who they were. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's grab this next quote that we've got up here. We'll try and wrap this up here tonight. I think we've got, when their eyes were open, they knew him. Amen. Notice, as they went now, two of them, Cleopas and his friend, was on their road to Emmaus, and it was Sunday morning. And so they was on their road over there talking, and they was going along the road real sad. My, they were really let down with something. It looked like a veil. And God lets things happen like that. He does that purposefully just to test you. You mean God would let a trial come into my life just to test me on purpose? Yes. Yes, he would. He says he does that on purpose just to test you. Now let me get this straight before you so you'll understand that every son that comes to God has got to be child trained. He's got to be tested. Every son. If you're never tested, you're not a son. By the way, that goes for daughters too. All the sisters are sitting there going, phew. Nope. Sons and daughters. Amen. If you're never tested, you're not a son. If you can't stand the chastisement of God, then you're illegitimate and not a child of God. You claim God is your father. You say, oh, I can't believe. Well, that just shows that God is not your father. See? You would get it. Now notice, this testing, God tests every one of his children. All that come to him must first be tested, tried, and proved. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know how they do these, they have the ability now to test your DNA, right? To see who you're related to. This is God's DNA test. See what you're made of. Right? Brother Doug, because he's a scientist, he expresses it a little different. Scientists, you know, if they wonder what a substance is, they apply tests to it. I remember doing that in high school. Actually, I remember doing that in college, too. Man, where you have a substance, and I don't know what it is, it's white, right? Maybe it's a white powder. Probably the sisters have done this, right? And you run a series of experiments on it. You put it, you know, first maybe you put it in, does it dissolve in water, right? And if so, then that eliminates a whole bunch of things. It could be this, all these things over here, right? And then you apply heat to it. Does it burn? Right, or whatever. Well, then that eliminates all of these, and you go through a series of tests until finally you narrow it down and you go, well, it's probably this substance because of all the tests that I did. Right? Well, God allows tests to prove the DNA.
Right.
To prove who you are. Now, he knows what you're made of. He's not gaining any new information for himself, but he's proven it to you and he's proven it to the devil.
Yeah, right.
Amen.
Amen. Proving, testing, trying, so that you know who you are. And when you come face to face with the devil, you know that you've been through the test that proves who you are.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay, but quickly now, doors, indoor. He says, but see, it's like the church has to pass through a hall of critics. We go through, you're going to be called a holy roller. You're going to be called everything. Now, let me just stop right there, because that is one of the hardest things for, as a young person, many times, is that fear of what you'll look like, right? Or what people will think of you, if I can put it that way. What will people think of me? Right? And that's what he's speaking, that's what he's addressing. Now, in our day, maybe people aren't going to be calling you a holy roller. That certainly, during that time, that was a derogatory term that many of the churches used for, those people that would have those types of experiences with the Holy Spirit, right? They call them a holy roller. I don't know. I don't even hear that anymore, right? It's something else today. But that's not the point. The point is that people will criticize you, and people will call you things.
Right.
They'll call you names. I imagine probably sisters, they're going to call you old-fashioned, right? Because you wear the clothes you wear, because you don't wear makeup, because you don't cut your hair, right? They're going to call you names. They're going to call you derogatory things. Brothers, you know, we don't participate in the things of the world, right? We don't wear the fashions of the world. We don't consume the, we don't feed on the same media of the world, right? We can't have those conversations. Amen? We shouldn't be able to have a really engaging conversation with a coworker about what's on TV, right? Coworkers are standing around, or classmates, you know, students, people that you're around, you know, they talk about, oh, did you see the latest whatever movie, TV show, whatever is on, right? And that's what they talk about. That's what my coworkers talked about anyway. I don't know about you. Right, and oh, they would have all these conversations about, well, this is what I think is going to happen, and you feel like an oddball. Did you see that? Nope. Oh, well, I don't want to give you any spoilers. Don't worry, I'm not going to watch it. Oh, but you might want to. No, you don't understand. I'm not going to watch it. I really don't care. Right? But it kind of makes you an oddball. Right? Well, we need you to work, you know, an extra shift on Sunday. Well, I have church on Sunday. Well, we need you to do that. Well, sorry. I have church. Well, take this promotion and you'll have to work Wednesday nights. And no, I go to church on Wednesday nights.
Right, right.
If you say that's extreme. Brother, sister, that's not theoretical. I'm not speaking to you out of theory. I've experienced all of these things. I've turned down promotions. I'm not saying that to lift up myself. I have turned down promotions so that I can go to church on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? This is what we do.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Now, I'm not saying you always have to do that or some circumstance. You be led of the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not telling you what to do. But I'm just telling you that we're oddballs. Right? I feel like re-preaching the oddball message, right? But he says you're going to be called a holy, or you're going to be called something. So you might as well just accept it. But realize, brother, sister, it's not the person. It's the spirit of the age. And even if they aren't anointed specifically with the devil, they are anointed of this age. Right? And this evil age that we're living in, it's against the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen? And that's a good thing. You don't want to be going the same direction they're going.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, you're a holy roller. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'd be worried if you didn't see a difference. You're weird. You're not like us. Amen?
Amen.
But that comes from, and this is where we're going, we keep coming back to this. Amen? That comes from a confidence in knowing who you are.
Amen.
Being comfortable knowing who you are. You can't withstand that type of criticism or people making fun of you unless you're steadfast and confident in who you are. But once you have that established, then, I mean, nothing's going to shake you. Amen? Oh, sure, it might shake you up temporarily, but it's not going to move you. Amen? He says, you're going to be called a holy roller. That's not, you might be, you are going to be criticized. Amen? He says, you're going to be called everything. But if you could only hold your position in Christ, then someday he'll take us to the Hall of Fame. But first, we've got to stand criticism. There is where the littleness of us stand, and there is where it shows. He that cannot stand chastisement is an illegitimate child and not a child of God. No matter how much he's joined church or whatever he's done, he is still, if he cannot stand chastisement, he's illegitimate and he's not a real child of God. But a real, genuine child of God, I don't care what the world says, everything else is secondary. He's got his mind on Christ, and that settles it. Yes, whatever Christ says do, he'll do it. Wherever the Lamb goes, they're with him. wherever. And then you see his appearing, his presence, and what he does. And he is always with his people, his bride, and he's courting her, and someday there's going to be a wedding supper. Amen. So just real quickly here, this is how, in my own experience, this is how I knew when I didn't have the Holy Ghost and I needed the Holy Ghost. Because I knew that I would make little compromises. Amen. I knew that it was me within myself trying to hold on and trying to stand. And I was lacking a power to stand on the Word of God. Amen. Let's just continue. Let's just read these. We need to wrap this up. So let's read these scriptures here. This is Hebrews 11. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11:5 says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." Remember what we started with. The Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. Enoch pleased God. He walked with God. And Enoch is our type, right? In this day, we are walking with God to a rapture. But brother, sister, let us not be so caught up in what's happening in the future that we miss the walk. Amen? Amen. That is pleasing to God to walk with him. And then quickly now, John chapter 1. Verse 9 says, "That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." Amen. Amen? Now notice, they were born not of blood. Has no bearing on who your father or who your mother is. Nor of the will of flesh. It has nothing to do with any man or woman. Church, preacher, pastor, nobody. We were not born of blood or of the will of man, of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen? That's what it all comes down to. Being born of the will of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, as we are moving and we're walking and being changed in his image, amen, we are being shaped and formed. And we are being tested and tried and becoming more like him. But, brother, sister, we've got to start that path. We've got to start that direction. Amen? And, you know, I was just thinking about this generation. How God uses generations after generation after generation. Amen? And, I remember, so we'll say things about, you know, the young people and this generation that's coming up. We'll say, man, you know, it's hard. I can't believe how bad the world is and the things that they have to face and so forth, right? Well, they were saying that about my generation. Amen? And guess what? If the Lord tarries and they raise up and have, are adults and have kids, they'll be saying it about their kids, the next generation. But, brother, sister, here's the key. The Spirit of God raises up a standard against it. God's Word is enough in any generation, in any age, to overcome anything. Amen. Our God is God. He's powerful enough. Amen. His Spirit is enough. His life is enough to carry you through. So, don't use that as an excuse. Well, this is the hardest generation. I mean, this is the hardest time. It's the blackest. It's the, you know, our nation is further from God than it ever has been. And that may be true, but that's not an excuse. Amen. God is still on the throne. Amen. His word is still true. And we've got to continue to work. Now, the young people in this church are the future of the church. Amen? You're the future preachers and deacons and mothers, homemakers, and raising families and carrying this word forward. So I'm praying that the word of God inspires you. Amen? That's the whole reason that we do these meetings. Let's stand tonight. We're closing here. This is the reason why we preach this. This is the reason why Brother Baker labors in the word. It's to let the word inspire you. Amen? That's the reason why, you know, he brings these things like you need to be in the word. You need to be listening to your message. You need to, if you want to find out, if I could just quote him a little bit tonight. If you want to find out what you're supposed to be doing, your portion of the word, that's what the message is. The message is your portion of the word. It is the word of God, but you need to get into that. Amen? I remember as a young person digging into the word of God. Amen? Reading the message and listening to the tapes. And it inspired me. Amen? It encouraged me. It showed me that there's a living God and he can move in your life. And you can have power to overcome. We need to be working. Amen. While it's daytime, this is not a sitting down resting time. This is pressing to the end. We're in the end. Amen. Find your place. I just encourage you. Amen. Look for your place. Let him place you in the word. You're the future pillars of this church. Of the church. The entire church. Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Hallelujah. Fear not. Let him come and speak to you. Let him come reveal himself to you. Let him come and say, my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased. If he's never told you that, maybe you should ask him. Amen? Amen. Would that be a good idea? Ask him. You might have to press into it. Now, Brother Doug here a little bit ago, he was talking about this church creating an atmosphere and what atmosphere does. Amen? And it's all of our jobs to create an atmosphere whereby the Holy Spirit can move and can bring births and can change lives. Is that right? It's everyone's responsibility to do that. But I want to flip it a little bit. That's true. It is all of our responsibility to do that. And our honor to do that. Our pleasure to do that. Amen? But look, if you are hungering for that, don't wait for the rest of us. Amen? If you truly are seeking God with all your heart, you really don't care what's going on around you. I'll tell you, I've been to meetings. When I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I went to meetings where there was no atmosphere. And nobody at those meetings believed in the moving of the Spirit. And many of them had no use for an altar call or an after service. And you know what? I didn't care. I went up to the altar anyway. I had my own service. Because I was seeking God. And you press in. Don't worry about what other people do. Don't wait for somebody else. Amen. You might be waiting a long time. So you've got a responsibility too. To press in. Amen. Leave everything else behind to obtain this. Because it's worth it. It's worth leaving everything else behind. Amen. the power of this gospel can accomplish anything in your lives.
Amen.
Amen. But you've got to know He's my Father. He's got to tell you. You've got to hear it from Him. Amen. You can't have a second-handed experience. You've got to hear it from Him. You are my child. My beloved son. My beloved daughter. In you I am well pleased. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, Lord, truly we're thankful for your grace and mercy, Lord. We thank you for your long suffering and bearing with us, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, we're just slow of heart, Lord, slow to respond. Lord, sometimes we just allow the cares of life to get in the way. But Father, I pray, Lord, that your word would bring clarity tonight. Lord, if there's anyone here tonight that's still seeking, Lord, to receive that token, Father, that they need to know, Father, that they are your child. They need you to speak to them, Lord, in the way that you've done it before. Lord, you promise that you're no respecter of persons, Lord. You're a respecter of your word. And if it'll work for me, it'll work for them. I truly believe that, Lord. Because if it wasn't for them, they wouldn't have a desire for it. So if there's a desire tonight, it's because you put it there. And you want to meet that desire. So Lord, I pray that if anyone has that desire tonight, Lord, that they wouldn't be satisfied until they receive that, oh God. That they wouldn't hesitate. They wouldn't let the things of life get in the way. Lord, that these young people, that they would set their lives, Lord, on a trajectory of serving you, oh God. That their life would be so founded firmly upon the rock of revelation of Jesus Christ in their life. Lord, that that token life would be on display, Lord. That they can walk confidently through life, knowing that they can display that token and demons have to move. Oh, hallelujah. Father, I pray that you would just move in their lives, Lord. I pray for each one of them, Lord. Each one is facing their own individual battles. Lord, whether it's at home or with friends or wherever, Father, in their lives, even in their own minds, Lord. So many times the enemy comes and anoints young people, Lord, with fear and depression and anxiety and all of these mental battles, Father. But Lord, I pray that you would move on the scene, Lord, and move those demon anointings away from them. Father, bring clarity to those hearts and minds, Lord, that they can see that you're a loving Father. That you died for them, Lord, and that Calvary is for them, that victory is for them, that deliverance is for them, that they are beloved of you, O God. Oh, hallelujah. I pray, Lord, that you would just move in a mighty way, Lord, in every heart and life. Father, it doesn't have to be a young person, Lord. It could be a middle-aged person, an old person, anyone. Seeking more of you, O Lord. Like I said earlier, maybe they've had that experience and just need a reminder. Lord, you're so faithful just to remind us time and time again. You're so faithful to just move on the scene and reassure us. Oh yes, my child. I'm still here. I haven't moved. I haven't left you. Father, I pray that you would bring that to those searching hearts tonight. How we love you, Lord. May this church be a church on fire, oh God. May you just move a revival through every life, Lord. Through every home, Lord. Every family, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We need you, Lord, more than ever. We need you in these dark hours, Lord. But you're more than enough, Lord. You're more than satisfied. How we love you tonight, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Have your way, Lord, I pray. Have your way, oh God. May we not wait for somebody else to create an atmosphere for us. But may we say, it's me, oh God, in need of prayer. I want to press through until I receive what I have need of. Oh, bless every hungry heart here tonight, Lord. We know the hungry shall be filled. The thirsty shall receive, Lord God. They that knock shall be opened unto thee. Thank you, Lord. We appreciate your word so much, oh God. I just pray that you be with each one tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave. I am a child. Deliver you tonight, to set you free from your enemy. It's not to put you in bondage, it's to set you free. Hallelujah. I'm no longer a slave. Hallelujah. I'm a child of the living God. I don't have to fear you, devil. No longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Hallelujah. From my mother's womb. From my mother's womb. Yeah. He's chosen you to hear his word tonight. Amen. You hear him calling. He's calling through his word. He's calling your name tonight. Hallelujah. Into your family, your blood flows through mine. Hallelujah. And I'm no longer a slave. Your family, your